that I'm better off on my own. So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Buy Local. Art and design for Buy Local is provided by Mia Daniluk. Intro and outro music is credited to Last Alliance. If you want to get your song on the show, provide suggestions, or just say hi, you can email me at buylocalumfm@gmail.com. My name is Ashley Patnod, signing off.
You're listening to CJUM 101.5 UMFM, Campus and Community Radio.
Hey everyone, it's me, the Album Authority, and I hate to break it to you guys, but these are not live episodes of Album Authorities. This is previously aired episodes. Like all great movements, I need my time to go back, to refresh, to regroup so that we can build this movement stronger. They asked me which episodes do I want. I said I didn't care because all I make is classics, all I make is hits. So enjoy these previous episodes of Album Authority, and I will come back to you guys in September with more fresh, revolutionary, world-changing radio. Hello and welcome to Album Authority. I am your host, The Album Authority, and this is the award-winning show, Album Authority, where I, The Album Authority, tell you about an album. My opinions given weight due to my authority on albums, hence my name, Album Authority. So this might be going over your heads, like why the whole Album Authority thing, so you guys can write it down. I am the Album Authority because I have authority on albums. That authority is vested in me because I am the Album Authority, and that's why this show is called Album Authority. okay? So if you need time to get that straight, that's okay, because today you will have a lot of time to process everything I say, because we are playing more quote-unquote slowcore, and I'm doing like a fingers thing. And I really hate that genre name, because I just hate the use, the overuse of the core suffix. TikTok has made the core suffix just absolutely everywhere. Everything is every core. You know, it's like,
oh my god, this is so Winnipeg core. This is so British core. This is so Red Bull core.
I don't know anything. And it's used for anything you can imagine. And yeah, I was just wondering if this was the first use of the term core, but no, it comes out of the term hardcore. I think this is one of the earlier ones, though. So I think this is an earlier use of the core suffix. And as much as I hate the name, I'd say this band really fits the term. I really hate the name slowcore. The other name for it is sadcore, which is far worse. Calling it sadcore is like should actually be illegal. Like, I don't want to advocate, I would never advocate anything violent on my show, but maybe it should be illegal to say sadcore. That should not be allowed. But today's band really fits the term, at least more than I think last week's band Pedro the Lion did. Today's artist is Red House Painters with their 1992 album Down Colorful Hill. And I wrote that without a U, because that is how I spell things, even though I am Canadian. I learned, my mom taught me to say Z. I don't know where everybody's parents told them to say Z. First of all, it's not Z. Frankly, it's disgusting that you would even say that. It's Z, but that's okay. But anyways, this was the band's first album, and I'd say probably their second best. I'd say their best is their second album. Red House Painters 1, but is commonly called the Roller Coaster album because of the album cover and the fact that there is a second Red House Painters album. Like, it's called Red House Painters 2, so it doesn't really roll off the tongue. But it's longer, that album's longer, and I don't feel like the format of the show would really fit better, because I wouldn't be able to really go through a whole album, because it's like an hour and 15 minutes. So I'd only be able to do like three songs off of an hour-long album, and at that point, you don't really get a vision of, you can't really piece together how the album really feels, even though a lot of the songs do feel the same, so maybe you would. But anyways, and this is the album that I think I come back to, that I came back to recently. So there's a path here, okay, because as you all know, this season is all about exploring my personal expansion of music taste. What's next in the wake of the Oasis Supernova, the landslide. Oh my god, in the wake of the Oasis landslide. There you go. I was caught in the Oasis landslide, and now here we are. Okay, I gotta stop saying landslide. But there's a path here. So I first listened to this album, I think it would have been in 2022, 3 years ago. All I can really remember about the time, and I remember that because I was either just starting to talk to my girlfriend, or I was newly dating my girlfriend. So it was in that period of like July to October of 2022, in that chunk. So, and I was, as you all know, my girlfriend is really the musical driver of my show and my life at this point. But I listened to this album in 2022, and I thought it was kind of mid. I thought it was okay, but I thought it was too boring, and it was far too slow, and it was far too sleepy. I just thought it was very boring. And I really understand that view, because this is a slow album, you know, hence the name. Really, the name Slowcore is fitting here, even though it's disgusting. But this album, it takes its time. It builds up. And in my opinion, it really takes a different type of listening. I don't really think the right word is distracted listening, because that has a sort of negative connotation. But with this album, you need to be doing something for it to work. You know, something quiet and slow. And I think really the perfect thing is reading. I've been, there's always a worry with distracted listening that you're going to be too, if you get too focused, you'll either miss the reading or the thing that you're doing, or you'll miss the music that you're listening to. So, and that's really what I also think is the benefit of multiple listens. That's why I listen to everything multiple times, even if I don't really like it, because there's a lot of things you can miss and there's a lot of things you can't appreciate, which is the first listen. Yeah, and it's complicated, though, because on one hand, I really want to fully focus on everything I do, but because my brain is just not like that, I have to, like, microdose distraction. I have to have some kind of minor distraction so I can complete whatever it is I'm doing. But anyways, I listened to this album at work in 2022, and the context didn't really lend itself to this slow-building album because I was working, so I don't know. That just doesn't really work. I can't focus on it at all. But I returned to it in the last month or so because of, funnily enough, Instagram, even though I hate the core suffix, but I heard a Sun Kill Moon song, which is the project by the lead singer of the Red House Painters, Mark Kozelek. It's what he made after the band. And it was this one song, a cover of a Modest Mouse song on an album of Modest Mouse covers, and it was Universal Math Equation. And I don't think this song is big on TikTok or Instagram or anything, but I did find it there, and I really liked it. And I couldn't figure out how I knew the guy's voice, so I had to dig into the band. And by that, I mean like one Google search. So then I found out who he was after listening to some Sun Kill Moon albums, and I returned to the Red House Painters in kind of the right context by listening to it while I was doing some reading for my thesis. And I really enjoyed their music, and I really enjoyed this album. And all that being said, here is the opening of that album, the 1992 album Down Colorful Hill. And this is the song, as it's the opening, that got me right back into the music. And that is 24. And here you go.
So it's not loaded stadiums or ballparks. And we're not kids on swing sets on the blacktop. And I thought at 15 that I'd have it down by 16. And 24 keeps breathing in. You don't want to see.
That was 24 and Down Colorful Hill on the 1992 album of the same name. I really love 24. As I'm always talking, you know, I'm always talking about time on here and aging and my connection between those two with music. So whenever a song is about aging or about, you know, getting old or the past, I'm going to eat it up every time. I've always been that way. I've always been like that. Even when I was 14, you know, I remember laying in bed and really loving In My Life by the Beatles. Meanwhile, I hadn't even had a life yet. I hadn't even had enough life to look back on anything. Like, I have always been super nostalgic or feeling, like, melancholy about aging. I don't know why. Like, what is there to be nostalgic about at 14? Being 12? Being in diapers? Like, I remember, specifically, I remember being 12 years old and feeling like my life was slipping away. You know, like, I was getting too old, and my whole life, I remember being 12 and being like, my childhood's done, man. I was literally in the middle of my childhood. The childhood was actively happening in that moment, and I was like, this is it, man. So, my childhood hadn't even started, and I don't know why that is. Maybe that's because, I don't feel like that anymore. I don't feel, like, obviously I feel like I'm getting older because I am. Actually, the other day I saw a picture of myself when I was 18. I was like, whoa, when did my face start looking old? And it's not even, like, my really poor mustache. I did just alert everybody the fact that if you see a guy walking around with a very poor mustache. And right now I'm wearing a Chinese national football kit, so if you see me with one of those. But the funny thing is, when you're hearing this, this will be recorded on a Wednesday, so you're gonna have to remember. And nobody cares enough to find me. That's good. I don't want to be found. I actually cannot even imagine being a level of famous where people know what you look like. That would actually be my personal hell. I don't want to be known in that way. I really like the idea of my voice being known, or like my writing being known. You know, like, I want to be like author famous. I don't want to be like pop star famous. I think I would my brains would be on the wall. But yeah, I don't know why when I was younger, I had such a stronger feeling of aging and getting older. I don't know, maybe that's because I didn't have control over my life and now I do. So I really don't feel like it's slipping away because I'm the one being able to control it. But I don't know. It was a very strong feeling to the extent where, I don't even feel that now as I'm like actively getting older. And yeah, I really love that song because of that. And when it came to the other song, Down Colorful Hill, the title track, I chose it because I feel as if it best illustrates what this album is all about, with the flow and the lyrics really driving that like sense of slow movement forward. It's almost like a, is a funeral march a thing? Is that a thing? Is that what it's called when you carry a coffin? What is that called? Funeral march? Is that what that's called? Funeral march. I'm Googling it right now. A funeral march as a musical genre is a march usually in a minor key in a simple duple metre, imitating the solemn pace of a funeral procession. Okay. Interesting. I can't play one because then I'd have to write it down and I don't want to do that. But yeah, this song almost has a funeral march-like quality to it. A parade-like rhythm, just kind of driving forward slowly and not even really like enthusiastically. And I think the lyrics really reinforce that with lyrics like, "Winds lifting tired feet, skin sensing challenge ahead." There's a sense of unease of this forward momentum that the song has. And I really like how this song really demonstrates the expansive traveling feeling of the album. And it kind of comes to this crescendo and then slowly trails off. And it's a song that you can really get lost in, which is, I think, indicative of the entire album. At its best, this album is just something you just get lost in every part. If a 10-minute song that has like 5 parts in it, and every time you get wrapped up in the parts, and it brings you forward to the next. And that's why I chose the title track. It was really between this or another song, Medicine Bottle, which is the most popular song on the album, I think by a lot. Let me check. I don't know if my Spotify shows me here. No, it doesn't show me on the website, but on the app it would. But it's by a lot, I think. Maybe if I click on the artist, it'll show the streams. This is their... For some reason, this is not their most streamed, actually. The other one is. Another one is. But this is their most streamed on this album by, like... I think a margin of 5 million streams. Like, it's not even close. I really like the song. It's really good. I don't know if it got attention on TikTok or something. Like, why that's the margin of listenedness. But, I don't know. It gives me a feeling that it would be a song that got big on TikTok. But I chose not to play it because while a great song, I feel as if it doesn't demonstrate the vibe and that marching feeling that I feel that the title track does. The song is very good, and I love it. But it just doesn't... I feel like it doesn't move you forward as if, like, the lyrics are saying. It doesn't feel like you're being lifted by the wind in a song. Like, it just feels very... very different, and it's a feeling that really stands out on the album, but I don't think is indicative of the album. And as you all know, this is Album Authority, so it's all about the album here. And unfortunately, these songs are all very long. Well, not unfortunately, but unfortunately for the show, these songs are all very long, so I could only pick like four, so I didn't really have a lot of leeway. And I don't want to cut into the fantastic talking time that you guys all love and care about, and is why you listen to the radio. I assume you guys actually do like the talking on the show. I mean, that's if you're a regular on the show. If you're just randomly tuning in your car right now, you might be annoyed, or maybe so annoyed that you veer your car off the road or something. Please don't do that, but if you do that, please try to change the channel before so that I don't get blamed for it. I really don't want that blame. That's just, I got too much in my life to deal with, you know. I got a lot of 14-year-old me memories being mad about being 12 or whatever, but... If you do listen to the show often, I assume you like the talking parts because it's 30 minutes of it. It's kind of hard to sit through if you don't, which is the same for me. I've always really liked the talking parts of songs, and I've really liked podcasts about music. My girlfriend, though, highly disagrees, and I think I can directly quote them by saying, "The worst part of radio is when the guy talks. Like, shut up." So because of that, I don't think my girlfriend's ever listened to an episode of the show. So if I really wanted to, I could say many rude things. Which honestly, I understand why they don't, because, you know, they already have to deal with me talking. Because if you can hear me talking on the radio, this is not really a persona. Like, I do talk this much, and I love talking this much. I really like the sound of my own voice. In fact, it's one of the parts I enjoy about the radio is that when I'm talking into this mic right now, I can really hear my voice. I don't like listening to the sound of my voice, but that's a whole different thing. And yeah, that's about it. So now we're going to get back into Down Colorful Hill with Lord Kill the Pain.
They doubt my direction. Ex-girlfriend, she said, I heard mind again and again. I said I didn't know that you ever did.
That was Lord Kill the Pain and Michael off of the 1992 album Down Colorful Hill by Red House Painters. I love both of those songs for different reasons. Lord Kill the Pain is a great, fast-paced song that honestly is pretty catchy. It's a good change of pace for the album. I think it really breaks up the longer shorter songs. I think this song is only like 5 minutes, right? Oh, actually, it's 6 minutes. Somehow it's longer than Michael, but because of the pacing, it doesn't feel that way. But it really breaks up these slower songs, and it keeps up with the morbid, somber tones of the album as he asks for the Lord to kill his family and his girlfriend and his best friend. But it also feels it's obviously very tongue-in-cheek, and Michael doesn't feel that way. The song feels there's an earnestness to that song, a sort of pain that I really relate and I really enjoy. As someone who's, I've always had a hard time letting go of people, of places, and times in my life. I always think about everyone I used to know, and everyone I guess I still do kind of know, but... and I always wish I could have conversations like Michael. Like, I could just completely have completely earnest conversations, just letting him know how much they meant to me and everything. But, I don't. And I could, but I just still don't. Sometimes I worry that the people I know right now will be the people I think about later in those terms, like my friends right now. And honestly, it's not only not a worry, it's probably a reality. Which is a weird thought. I think that would be even harder than the people now. But and what about parents? There's just so many people in our lives that we take for granted. And what I think we really take for granted are the people that we have very small interactions with. I've been at my job for one of my two jobs for coming on 7 years now, I think. And I started there when I was 15. And since then, I've worked with some of the same people since. A lot of them I don't, I'm not, like, friends with, obviously. I'm not really friends with any of my coworkers outside of work. I like them, but, and they might be listening. They're not listening. And I've worked with this one guy for the last, 4 years, basically, every week. And it used to be just us. We'd have Saturday shifts from 7 to 3. And it would just be us there in this whole shop, like just two people there. There was a third guy that was like watching college tutorials or something while he was like working or whatever. But it was great. We'd go get food, listen to Kanye or something all day. And he was looking at getting up recently. He was looking at getting a promotion for his job that he has now Monday to Friday because he's graduated now while still working there. So if he got that job, got a raise from it, he wasn't going to need to do Saturday shifts anymore. And he told me that, and I said, in that case, if you get the job, I hope you get the job, but in that case, I'll see you around, I guess. And that's what I said. And then it wasn't like a weird, I was completely normal. And then, as I left, as I was walking out the door, I was realizing, man, I've known this guy for like 7 years, and I might never see him again. And I have not seen him since. This was in March or April or something like that. I just kind of realized in this moment how important this person had been to me. Not even on like a super personal level. Like I'm not friends with this person. We don't hang out or anything. But I've worked with them for years and I've really had a lot of good times and interactions with this person. So, we've had I have a lot of memories tied up with this person, mostly banal dull memories, but memories nonetheless. And it's these people, like coworkers, classmates, people that you just kind of run into, that I think play such an important role in our lives. And I wish I could talk to some of them, and I can, and I wish I could just tell them how much they've all mean to me and how much they've meant to me, but I won't. I'm not gonna do that. And I don't know why that is. I think there's something holding me back. I don't know if it's social idea, like concepts of normality. Like if you just randomly reach out to somebody that's like, weird, and I'll get like a weird thought. But I don't know. And that's why I really love the song Michael, because, I sort of like it's a one way conversation. He's not conversing with this person. It's almost as if he's writing to them, and he's leaving them a note. Or something, and it's these conversations that I often have in my own head, or I write them down sometimes, I think it's, I really wish that I could have that, and I could, but, you know, nothing's stopping me. And that's what that song is all about to me. I know the lyrics. He's this Michael person in this song is like a more important person than like a coworker, like he's like a best friend or something. But to me, that's how I really feel about the song. And I have people like that as well. You know, I've had people that I was friends with for a long time in school that I don't talk to anymore, exes and everything that I wish the best. And then I wish I could be like, hey, you know, thanks, you're a cool person. But, and, you know, and that's the thing. I think people experience this with exes the most, where they reach out to them. It never goes how you want it to. And I don't even, like, even if you just want to be earnest and be like, you know, hey, thanks, never works out. Don't do it. And that's what the song, you know, and I think it's a really perfect, the song is a really perfect album closer. It really slows it back down again, brings it back to the pace. With all the other songs, and, you know, delivers what, in my opinion, is a real emotional centerpiece of the album. I keep doing that. I've been really enjoying slowcore lately, but, like, God, I really hate that name. But bands like Low, Page of the Lion, Red House Painters, Duster, you know, I've just been really loving these slow burns of albums, and I feel like they feel very fitting for the fall, like kind of a foggy leafs on the ground feeling. I could see this music working for the winter, but I feel like if you listen to this in the winter, you're just gonna be miserable. I feel like the fall is so nice that it really, you can add the melancholy is a lot more pronounced and enjoyable, as opposed to like just a complete, I feel like in the winter you gotta listen to more upbeat music or something like that to get you through it. But that's really all my thoughts on that. Yeah, and that was Down Colorful Hill. Like I said, their second album, Red House Painters 1, is probably their best, but I do find myself listening to this one more because it's just a more concise, like, extract of what the music is all about. It's like a dose, one big dose of, like, a 45-minute album, does the trick, boom. You know, and I've said it a couple times on air, but that is really my favorite album length. I feel like the ideal album is 45 minutes long, an hour at most. And really, if you stretch an album past an hour, like, I'm really hoping that it's worth it. And for Red House Painters 1, the Roller Coaster album, it really works. But sometimes it's too much, you know. You really have to earn that length. But yeah, 45 minutes, ideal length of time. And yeah. So for today's Canadian Song of the Week, it is a band that I've seen live a couple times, who I do enjoy. I wasn't gonna say I don't like them at first, but I didn't love them. And then after seeing them play a lot of times and listening to their songs, I really enjoy them now. And I actually have a shirt of theirs that I won from my friend's giveaway on his radio show, Post Everything. But anyways, this is Say Something by Guilty Sleep off of their 2023 album, it says, but I would call it more of an EP just because of the length, Passenger. And I have a shirt of that, and it's a really nice shirt. And here is Say Something, the last song on that album/EP. And thank you all for listening, and I will see you all next week. Thank you.
left to say.
Hey, you're tuned in to CJUM 101.5 FM in Winnipeg.